There's two handouts. You don't have to read them while you're sitting here, but it's good information for you. It's some of the stuff that I'm going to be speaking about. We ran out, so there's some on a lot of the empty chairs. So if you don't have these two handouts, one says costly new registration law effective July 1, and the other one's an open letter to the exterior renovation industry revised. So please grab those if you don't have them. Well, last night I was working on my my talking points for my speech here today, and if you don't know my wife, she's a nursing student at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. They call her a non-traditional student. That's when you're older like us, they call you non-traditional. I think that's one of the where they get those academics together and they try to come up with a term that's totally non-controversial and means absolutely nothing. And so because she's a non-traditional student, she goes over there Sunday nights because she starts clinicals Monday morning at like 5:30 in the morning. So I get to be dad and put the kids to bed. So while I'm upstairs working on my my talking points here, just put my son to bed, Jack, and Jack says, "Dad, yes, Jack, can I sleep with you?" "No, Jack, you can't sleep with me. You need to sleep down in your bed. We have to get up really early. I have a presentation to give tomorrow." A few minutes go by. "Dad." "Yes, Jack." "Can I sleep in my sleeping bag upstairs?" I said, "Jack, you cannot sleep upstairs. You have to sleep in your bed." "Dad." I'm getting frustrated. "Yes, Jack. Can I sleep in my sleeping bag in my room?" "Jack, you've got to sleep in your bed. You can't sleep in your sleeping bag in your room." So, working on my points more. "Dad." Or, "Yes, Jack. I'm hungry." Well, I know he skipped supper, so I brought him back upstairs. I fed him. And I said, "Jack, you really have to get to bed." And so he's dragging this out. And I get him back downstairs and knew it was bad. And I'm frustrated. I said to him, I said, "Jack, I said, do you really like to make me angry?" And he says, "A little bit." So he did finally go to bed, and I was able to get my notes done. Not so long ago, there was a meeting of a group similar to this. And that group, that meeting happened in Philadelphia. We all know Independence Hall. And there was 56 individuals there. And those individuals were mostly in their 30s and 40s. And they were mostly tradespeople, lawyers. There was, for example, a silversmith. There was a brewer. There was sort of a jack of all trades who was sort of the elder statesman of the group. And there were some farmers and then a whole lot of lawyers. And they sat down and they wrote a document. And this document was very important. It was very special. And it was very dangerous. And these folks were a lot like us. And like I said, they were in their 30s and 40s. They were running their businesses. They weren't anything special. They weren't doing this because it was going to make them more money. They were doing this because they believed in an idea. And they believed in a dangerous idea. And it was so dangerous by them putting their names on this document. They were putting their lives at risk. They were putting their families at risk. They were putting their businesses at risk. They could be killed because they put their names on this document. Now, we all know the famous words from this document where they say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that statement, and that was penned by Thomas Jefferson, talks about rights, these rights that we have. Talks about how they are inalienable, and that means that they can't be taken away. Talks about how they are self-evident, because you don't have to find them. They're not concealed. They're out in the open. They're there. And talks about how we were endowed by our Creator, how they were given to us by our Creator. So until modern school traditions and the fact is that we can't talk about creators in school anymore, in our Declaration of Independence, they talk about the Creator giving these rights to us. And we have to preserve these rights. And those rights are, again, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, there was an old man sitting across the pond. He was kind of crazy. His name was George III. And he didn't like what these folks did, these 56 individuals who signed this document. And he was, even though he was a little crazy, he was very powerful. He had the most powerful army in the world. He had the biggest navy in the world. And he was coming to get these guys. And he came across and tried to get them. And they rallied, and they fought, and they beat him. And we won. We won the American Revolution. Why do I bring that up? Because you are in a battle. You're in a battle against expanding government regulation in your industry. You're in a battle against the insurance companies trying to take away the value of claims. You are in a battle on many fronts. There was only 56 individuals that signed that document. Now, when we started this organization back in 2009, April 30th, we had a meeting at the Kelly End over by the Capitol. And I wasn't actually aware that that meeting was going to take place. And Lance Hoagland from GAF calls me up, and Lance says, "Alden, yes, Lance, get your ass down to the Kelly End. There's an important meeting going on." So I went to the Kelly End, and there were about 26 construction companies that were sitting around a table together. A lot of you in this room here. And we started the Minnesota Association of Exterior Specialists. Now, we started the organization because if you remember at that time, we were in the Great Recession. It was just rolling. It just got going. And the banks had shut down. I mean, basically, nobody was working. Nobody was lending money. And in your business, as you know, you sort of are a bank for your customers. At that time, you were really a bank. It was taking up to 18 months for you to get paid after your work was done. Now, that was terrible for your cash flow. And so the reason we started this organization was to try to go to bat and to fight to get your name on the insurance checks. A novel idea, a very simple idea. But when we went to the Capitol, and we had good representation. We had Roger Moe, former Senate Majority Leader, very influential. We had Mike Hatch, former Attorney General, as our counsel, very influential. But when we got to the Capitol, we found out very quickly that it's a lot more complicated than we thought. And when we got there, we had the banks who were saying, this isn't an issue you can deal with here at the state capitol. We are federally regulated. And because we're federally regulated, you can't touch us. And the insurance companies were there. And the insurance company said, we didn't cause this problem. We paid the money. The banks are holding it. They're the ones that are causing the problem. So don't bother us with the problem. Don't make us do any extra work because of this issue, because we didn't cause it. So they're pointing their fingers like that, and we're sitting there, and we're getting nowhere. Now, the state banks were saying, we actually pay our bills. We aren't the cause of the problem. So that was kind of the mess that we dealt with at that time. Now, we were unsuccessful in getting that legislation passed. But what we were successful in doing was we got your voice heard. Before that, at the Capitol, nobody knew what exterior renovation industry was. Nobody knew what renovation contractors were. And now they do. And so that effort paid off. But then we had a rebuilding after that. So in 2010 and 2011, we had a couple of rebuilding years. But in 2010, if you can remember, we got hit with the Bulletin 2010-4. That was authored by the insurance industry and given to the Commerce Department. And that bulletin said, in a nutshell, you can't act like public adjusters. And the insurance companies took that as a charge and said, well, because of this bulletin, which, by the way, isn't law, it's an interpretation of law, it's Commerce Department's opinion of what the law is. They took that and they got really bold and they said to you, we're not talking to you. see, we've got this piece of paper, we've got this bulletin issued by the Commerce Department that says, we don't have to talk to you. Well, that was really misconstruing the law completely. So our firm, along with Minnesota Association of Exterior Specialists, stepped in. And we worked with Commerce Department to try to get them to change that interpretation and explain to them why that interpretation was wrong. And they were going to issue a revised Bulletin 2010. But instead what they did, they issued a FAQ, a Frequently Asked Question. So there is sort of a supplement to the bulletin, and it's this FAQ. But in any event, they backed off, and they said, absolutely, you can talk to the insurance company. Absolutely, you are the contractor's choice of your customer. Absolutely, you can talk about scope and price of repair. What you can't do, based on their interpretation of the public adjuster law, what you can't do is you can't get involved in the insurance claim itself. So you can't talk about coverage issues, but you certainly can talk about construction issues. So we beat that back somewhat in 2010. Now, in 2011,